Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also do it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Social media, that's where you can interact with our community. Essentially, it's kind of like a message board is what we use our Facebook for. Lots of folks on there every day talking about their experiences. You can join in on that. Just look up Real Ghost Stories Online. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchatting away at Ghost Podcast as well. That's how you can find us there. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
How are you?
I am fine this fine day. I got some exercise in, which it's become a rarity for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm discovering I like it. Mm-hmm. Jenny got me one of those Fitbit things for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what a little thing around your arm can like motivate you to do what you should already be doing. And I said it, there's a setting on it where it will electrically shock you if you don't exercise. It gives quite a jolt. And
yeah.
So I'm kidding. It does not do that.
I know.
But that would be motivating. I could see some days like, it'd be cool if a device did do that.
Just kind of shake until you are able to exercise?
No, not shake. Literally electric volts.
Oh, okay.
I think just, you know, like a shock collar, essentially, mm-hmm. for people. Where it's like, well, you didn't exercise. You made excuses. Now I'm going to shock you at random for the next hour.
Yeah.
Just not like a continuous voltage, but just, you know, every once in a while, just does it. And you don't know when it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That would make you, or make me anyway, be like, screw it. I'm not going through that again. And I could see that being, although you could just take it off. You'd have to do something there where it's like, once it's on, it's on. It has to be
like
a
house arrest?
Kind of, yes. Essentially, if you take it off, then it gets even worse. I don't know what could happen then if you take it off. Obviously, if you're on house arrest and you take off your ankle bracelet, you get arrested. I don't know. That would be probably require something else to happen. I don't know what. With drones, anything's a possibility now. So.
Sure.
There you go. Motivation to exercise. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. And let's go over to our first call today and hear a story. Hi.
Hi, my name is Lena. I'm calling out of Cincinnati. And first off, I love the show. And I thought it was about time that I shared one of my stories. I have a few. But one that kind of stood out to me was, I'm actually originally from Bosnia. And I had taken a trip back home to visit family. And while I was there, I had a cousin. She was kind of telling us, you know, stories of what had happened during the war around that time. She told me a story about a couple that had lived nearby in a nearby village or town that we had lived at the time. And she said that this couple had moved into a house that had been renovated after the war. And they had been experiencing, you know, paranormal activity. There was doors opening and closing by themselves. You know, there was a story about how the woman who was cooking dinner, you know, a pan had just flown off the stove or something along those lines. And I remember listening to this ghost story thinking, oh, it's just, you know, another paranormal story just like any other. But it gets kind of weird because she said that, you know, this house, the couple moved out, you know, after having these experiences. They had decided to demolish this home, and they had found, or according to her, bodies and skeletons inside of the walls of this home. They did some research and they had investigators come out, and they had basically, it was a mass grave that, or war crimes had been supposedly committed, and they were hiding bodies inside the walls of this home. And so I just thought that was a really bizarre story that kind of tied what had happened during the war into like kind of a ghost story. So I don't know. I hope you guys like that. But I definitely enjoy the show, and I thought I'd call in and love the show. Bye.
Bodies in the walls.
I like that.
I don't.
That's like added. That's way more than just better than finding 1993 wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting in itself. But bodies.
Yeah, that's just gross.
What do you? How did they get there? Is that someone hiding them? Is that someone?
That's what she said.
Yeah. How often do you think? This is probably pretty obscure. But how often do you think, maybe this is something that would have happened along, you know, in older times with less communication, mass communication over distances and things of that nature, where somebody be working on a house or something, maybe by themselves, and they fall between the walls,
mm-hmm.
and get stuck in the walls. And then the house never gets finished or something. And then it's years later. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of odd reasons why someone could be inside the wall and dead. That's not of some sort of nefarious reason. Well, and I'm really pulling at hairs to figure any. I don't think I have anything.
Yeah, I don't see somebody falling between the walls like that and then it just going unnoticed.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think there's really any logical place for that. I'm sure there's accidents, but it gets noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi.
Hello, Brewskies. My name is Derek Spedling. Long-time listener, first-time reporter of Supernatural Events. Before I get into my real ghost story, my first real ghost story, Tony, a couple of weeks ago, brought up about the movie Kazam and Shazam. One of those two was, totally bogus, but he found a forum where people were sharing memories of the show, movie, like in such detail that you would think it's true. I have a story recommendation. You can look this up on your own time, but it's totally fiction, but it's got that same premise, but it puts a paranormal spin on it. It's really eerie and really interesting. It's called Candle Cove. And now that's out the way, on to my real ghost story. So back in my youth, I used to attend the Tennessee School for the Blind. And it's an old place. Matter of fact, it's got all the cliches of, you know, being built on top of an Indian burial ground. And, so, I mean, there's a lot of fabricated ghost stories. I'll admit that, get that out the way right now. But at the same time, there's quite a few things that happened there that's got more than several people convinced that there's definitely paranormal activity going on inside that place. From my experience, I'll take you to Well, at least for this ghost story, I'll take you to the gymnasium. Before I found out any history on this place, when I walked inside of it, I was just... I'm not sensitive or anything, but anytime I walked inside this place, I was overcome with dread. Like, do not be caught in any part of this gym alone, ever. That was my feeling. Every time I ever stepped foot inside that gym. These feelings were particularly strong in the locker room and the pool area. These feelings were so palpable, though. It wasn't just me. Because they were so palpable that me and my buddies used to make a game out of it. Like, you know, you have, when you have PE, you have these uniforms sometimes you'd have to dress into, or when you're on wrestling. Anytime we were in the locker room getting dressed for anything, we were in a contest to see who could do it the fastest. The last person in the room has to deal with the overpowering bad feeling that haunts that place. Matter of fact, I never told anyone, like, any authorities, because I was a bad kid. I told them a lot of stuff, like, they punished me in all sorts of ways, but I never told them about the gymnasium, because I was afraid that one day maybe that would lock me inside of it to teach me a lesson. If they had done that, I probably would have been scarred for life. I probably would have turned into an animal and probably, like, slammed my head up against a glass window to try to escape the place. But anyway, into some history that could explain why the feeling was particularly powerful in the pool and the locker room area. Years back, there was a little girl who was the bomb at holding her breath underwater. But she wasn't just the winner of holding your breath underwater contest. She would also deserve some acting awards too, because she liked to pretend to drown. Okay? So, this is a ghost story, so of course the girl is going to actually drown. But the day she actually does, no one jumps in the pool and saves her. They're just like, eh, she does this all the time. So we got a boy who cried wolf situation, or a girl who pretended to drown situation. Yeah, that happened. Because of this, when they finally realized, oh shit, she's not coming back out of the water, they went and got her, and she was dead. Fast forward several years later to my middle school years. I think I was just in middle school, and that don't matter, but I was serving detention, and it was getting late. Because not only was I serving detention, I was trying to finish some homework, and the teacher I was with was really awesome and wanted to help me out on that. I was in there until like 7 at night, which I think it was like wintertime, so like the sun was set early. But I heard disembodied laughter and like some footfalls, you know, of a little girl, like playing, you know. To make sure I wasn't insane, I asked Miss Ewing if she could hear it too. And yes, she could. So we just agree on that, and I just continue doing my work, you know. Disembodied laughter of a girl. Nothing creepy about that, right? Next day, I gotta share this story with some of my friends, and Miss Ewing is about ready to lose her shit because I am sharing my real ghost story before this thing existed. She gets up in my face and she goes, "You know, everyone knows that you're lying." She's not laughing me off. She's super, super serious. My question is, why do people get mad about ghost stories, especially if they're in the same boat with you? If they agree with you that something is indeed happening? Some feedback on that. please, if you will, if you use this on the show. Anyway, I have a handful of other experiences, but that's gonna do it for now. I'm gonna end things off over here. I appreciate the show. I love the joking around and humor. As of this recording, the week of, I just became an EPP, and I'd say it's worth. And I'm doing the year-round thing. I haven't opted for the bunk bed bell yet, but I will. Keep it up.
Why do you think that people get mad when other people share ghost stories? If they don't, is it kind of a plug your ears, la 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 la, I don't want to hear it because it scares me? Or is it just that confirmation that that stuff really goes on?
It's a combination of the two. Typically, I think the only people who are really getting mad when other people are sharing ghost stories are ones who are going to adamantly say, not real, it's not real. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same people who get upset when you talk about facts.
Sure.
you know, factual statements that not opinion statements, but factual statements that they don't agree with. Especially if it's like political in nature or something, and they want to argue it. And that can happen no matter what your opinion is. Mm-hmm. There's a certain element of people that don't like reality. it can be much more scary to, I think, absorb that reality and deal with it, especially if you spent most of your life not doing that. Mm-hmm. and kind of staying in a bubble of cotton balls and how you feel things should be, not how things really are.
Yeah.
I think all of us to a certain level have a little, you know, a sense of how we think things should be, but I think the healthy person lies somewhere in the middle of all of that. Mm-hmm. Where it's not, it is pretty overwhelming just to understand every single thing without having a little bit of buffer there.
Yeah.
But I think that's it. It's too hard to process. And it's a scary concept. If you are adamant this is not real, it's probably a reason you're adamant this is not real.
Sure.
There may be something very scary or unexplained that had happened to you. And that's why I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to, you know, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I go.
That sounds good.
So thanks for the call and sharing your experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Chris. I would like to tell you about a story that happened, a ghost story that happened in my aunt's house. In April of 2011, I moved to my aunt's house. My aunt has four kids who, at the time, lived at her house. My aunt works at night, so usually me and my son are home alone. Now, the story takes place in the summer of 2011, and my cousins were out with their friends, and my aunt was working. My son goes to sleep at 8 p.m. So the story begins, and it was 9 o'clock in the morning, and I hear a knock. And I didn't know who it was, so I glanced out through the window to see. And I saw a cop. So I opened the door, and the cop said that she was doing a wellness check on me and my son. And I told her that we were fine, so my son's asleep, and it's just me, I'm watching TV. And she said, are you sure you're okay? And I said, yeah. I said, well, who called? And she said that someone in the house called. And I said, you mean from a cell phone? And she says, no. She says, the phone that's connected inside the house. And I said, well, no, that's impossible because there is no phone that's connected to the house. everyone's got a cell phone, and my cell phone's off. And she asked again if we were okay, and I said yes. And she says, well, that's strange. And she said that, well, you know, maybe you should tell the phone company what's going on. And I said, okay, well, I'll pass that message to my aunt. Now, this happened 3 other times. The second time it happened, I was, again, home alone at 1 o'clock. And then the other 2 times happened when my cousin was here. And, again, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And I still think that is so strange. That 4 times the cops came and they said the same thing. That someone in the house called, not by cell phone, but the phone that was connected inside the house. Another strange story happened that same year. Me and my son lived in the basement, my aunt's house. Now you go down the stairs, straight on the right hand side, there's a door which leads into my cousin's room. And then on the other side is a open space with 2 beds on each side and toys that are against the wall that's by the stairs. Now what happened was I was in my cousin's room, and my cousin has a favorite chair that's like a few feet away from the TV. His room is really small and cramped, so that's the reason. But I was sitting in the chair, and I was watching a funny movie, and the door opened, and I said to my son, "What's wrong?" And there was no reply. And I thought that was strange. And then I asked again. I said, "What's wrong?" Nothing. No reply. So I turned around and I didn't see him. And it was so strange because I felt somebody was watching me. And the hairs of my arms were sticking up. Now, like I said, this happened during the summer, the same year, and around the same time. And the thing is, my aunt's air condition was off. So how in the heck did that door open? That was strange. So, like I said before, the door opened, and I swear I felt like somebody was watching me. And the hairs of my arms start sticking up. It was like electricity in the air. And then a gust of wind went right through the chair and right through me. It was as if God, it was almost as if I walked into a freezer. It was that chilly. It was so weird. And I got up quickly, check up on my son, and my son is dead asleep. I ran upstairs to see if someone was home, and nobody was home. And that was really weird. So I went back downstairs, and I start hearing noises, like somebody was walking upstairs. So I went back upstairs again to see. Nobody was there. And I decided, okay, you know what? I'm just going to ignore it. So that's what I did. I went back downstairs. I went back to my cousin's room, watched the movie, and then I went straight to bed. And then there's another story that happened in 2016, which is recent. It was about 8 p.m. Now, my aunt's 4 children, do not live in the house anymore. So it's just me, my aunt, and my son. It was 8 p.m. and I was watching Dateline on Channel 5. And I didn't want my son to hear what I was watching, so I put it low. And my son was downstairs in his playroom downstairs. The door was open. And I'm watching, and my son starts saying, "Mom! Mom!" So I muted the TV, and I said, "What's wrong, sweetie?" And he says, "Did you hear the little boy?" I said, "What little boy?" He says, "There's a little boy." I said, "No, sweetie, I didn't hear anything." I said, "But if it freaks you out, then come upstairs with me. Grab some toys. Come on, it's okay." And he goes, "No, it's okay, Mom." So he stayed downstairs for a couple hours, and then he went straight to bed. And those are the weirdest things that happen in my aunt's house. Yeah. I can't explain any of it. So, okay, thank you, Tony and Jenny, for everything. And thank you for allowing someone like me to talk about my story. Because it's hard, because I don't have too many people I can tell this to. If I can, I got a picture of, I tried to send you a picture, but I was at my friend's house, and I took a picture of her cat, and there was an arm, and it was really weird. It kind of looked like an arm or like a wool skirt. It was really weird. So thanks again, Tony and Jenny. Thank you. Goodbye.
Kids seeing little boys that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little boy that's not there. It's just... ugh. That's one of my fears as a parent, is my kid coming to me and say that they see somebody who's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just adamant about it.
That would be kind of freaky. Mm-hmm. And how do you handle that, Mom?
I don't know. I don't know if I would just kind of skirt the issue and go on, or, you know, just because I don't obviously want to alarm my child.
Sure.
But I don't know.
I think, I mean, depending on how serious it is and what, probably very much depends on the content.
I can rest assured knowing that if this does happen, I know I will handle it the wrong way.
Why is that?
Because that's just how it goes. I have the best laid intentions, and then Mom freaked out.
You at least had the experience yourself.
Yeah.
But you didn't really realize that till being an adult.
Yeah.
So I think there's something that's probably a good thing to have, and in the perspective of, it doesn't always end horribly.
No.
If the child is seeing a ghost, it doesn't end in, you know, some sort of weird possession, or it's just like, oh, and it was done and it kind of resolved itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went away. So having that under your belt, I think, is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
If our children ever start seeing ghosts in our house and talking to them. Well, Harper always says, she has her pretend friends.
Is what she calls them.
Yeah.
And she calls them her pretend friends.
And I ask, you ever see these guys? Daddy, they're make-believe. What are their names? Leonardo, Donatello, and they're the Turtles.
Yeah, it's
so,
the Turtles.
Yeah, so there you go. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
It's Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I was calling with a ghost story from a while back. It was probably 10 years ago. I was just newly starting out in paranormal investigation, and I went to a training weekend at a famous hotel. So this hotel was built by a big rich guy. I'm going to try to be vague because I don't want to get sued for slander. So part of the weekend, you got to get a tour from a worker of the hotel who told you some of the ghost stories. as he had been told them by different staff members and the history of the hotel and so on and so forth. So it was a really good, interesting, historically based type of investigation to do. So the scary part came when we were doing a tour of this rich hotel that in its heyday, rich people would go there to vacation for the season. Like they would stay there all winter, or not winter, like fall or spring or summer. For a while they had a section of the hotel that was, it would take care of people who were sick. I'm not sure, I can't remember exactly what the sickness was, but it was something to do with people who had trouble breathing. Anyway, so we're in this hotel room, and there's a psychic lady in the hotel room who's telling us a ghost story about that room. And she was saying that one of the things that happens in that room is you'll be sitting in the room, and you'll hear big footsteps come down the hall outside, big, loud, stomping footsteps, and then someone would bang on the door really hard, like bang, bang, bang. And it was so loud, it would scare people, and so they couldn't rent that room out. It happened quite frequently. Where she's telling the story, this woman, who was a ghost, she entered the room from the closet door and walked through the room, through the people who were in the room listening to the story, and I was terrified, just like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. And this woman came into the room, and she sat down, and she was very sad, and she sat down on the bed next to me, and she was listening to the ghost story. And they were telling, so I'm just terrified, I'm just like absolutely frozen, like, does nobody else see this? I'm obviously crazy, what's going on? But I'm just frozen. And mind you, she wasn't scary at all. She was sad. And I could feel her sadness getting stronger and stronger. And so then people in the crowd started asking questions like, do you know who was banging at the door? Do we know why? And the tour guide was saying, no, we don't know. We suspect that it might have been maybe a janitor. Or this, that, I don't remember. I wasn't really listening because I was focusing on the girl. So the girl, she almost was speaking in my mind, almost like replaying what was happening as we're listening to this story. And I could hear almost in my head the loud banging of a giant fist on the door. Now, this didn't happen in real life, but it was so loud it scared me, and it made her jump, and she jumped up from the bed, and she was pacing back and forth, and she was frantic that he was going to get her, that he was coming for her, and he was going to get her. And she went over to the window, which was a very tiny window, and she was trying to open it. She was trying to pry it open. And I'm watching this whole thing play out, and I'm getting terrified for her. It's almost like I was feeling her fear. And my heart was racing, and he was going to get her. And I think she called him Big Eddie, maybe. Anyway, she got the window open and climbed out of it, and then it was over. So after I calmed down, I asked the tour guide, what floor are we on? Aren't we on like the third floor? And she said, yes, we're on the third floor. And I said, are there fire escapes on this building? And she said, there are, but they were added later. They weren't part of the original building. And I said, how many people jumped out of the windows and committed suicide here. And she just, the psychic lady just looked at me and she said, funny you should ask that, because there was a woman who jumped from this very room and landed in the patio below. There was a garden or a patio where people could sit. And she just, and nobody knew why. She seemed happy with her job. But she jumped out of the window to her death, and they don't know why. So later on, as we're wandering up and down that hall, I ran into this woman again. She was back. And she was telling me in my head, and I have no way to back this up, no historical proof for this at all. But she said what happened was, when the girls were hired to work in the Richie Rich Hotel, you were hired if you were beautiful. That was part of the allure. Men would come, and some of them would go hunting. Some of them were there because they were sick. Some of them were just vacationing. They would even bring their wives. And sometimes they would want or have affairs with the ladies who worked at the hotel. And it was a very strict policy that you were not to have an affair with the rich gentleman and get pregnant. I don't know how at this point in time they thought, and there was no birth control. I don't know how they controlled that, but if a girl had an affair with a rich gentleman, and she would be given her ticket home and sent packing with no pay for that week. So I believe like the first, that's the matter. But so if a girl got pregnant, they would be sent packing. And so the girls all knew, you're pregnant. And if you, but a couple of them did. A couple of them fell in love, or they thought they were in love. And then the rich gentleman would go to the owner of the hotel. We'll call him Bill, because I don't want to give away too much which hotel. And the rich gentleman would say, look, one of your poor workers, although beautiful, I can't have this kind of scandal. She's telling me she's pregnant. She's telling me she wants to come home with me. I need you to take care of the problem. And they would pay the hotel owner to take care of the problem. They could go away. So the hotel owner, the thing was that the girls would be fired and sent home in disgrace. But what really happened was he would send Big Eddie to get the girls and their belongings and take them to the train station. But when the girls would be taken out by Big Eddie, who was very mean and very cruel, they were never heard from again. And it took the girls a while to figure that out. They don't know if he did something to them or if they were sent to nunneries, but I think they were taken up into the mountain and disposed of. I don't know how, but he was getting rid of them permanently, so that they and their illegitimate children could not show up later and cause trouble for the rich men. So that's my ghost story, and I hope you like it. Like I said, I can't prove any of it, but probably not at all untrue. Thanks.
Sometimes you learn more than you ever wanted to know
mm-hmm.
about something.
Sure.
And it's kind of like, what you're then in charge, I guess, of that information, since you're one of the few who can receive that message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, what are you supposed to do with that once you have that? Once you know what was going on all those years ago,
mm-hmm.
there's really nothing you can do about it anymore.
Especially now, it's just like it's historic
mm-hmm.
data. And exactly, what do you do with it?
Is it just to validate the souls that are gone,
uh-huh.
or what is it? Because it's not like they can go after
yeah.
him anymore.
I think it's probably just the validation. Mm-hmm. It's the, here's what happened. And now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
That sort of, mm-hmm. you know, end to it. Jill, thank you for calling in and sharing that that experience with us here. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, my name is Amber from Texas. I had called in the end of last year when I first started my job at a mental institute, or rather a behavioral hospital. And I had some experiences within the first month of me working there. Well, I'm calling back to report some more things that have happened. This happened last night. I'm hiding in the bathroom, so I'm sorry for the poor quality and the echoes. I'm trying to hide from my son. But anyhow, so I was working last night, and a code 10 had been called on the adult unit. I was working on the Jerry unit last night, and my coworker had to respond to the code 10. The code 10 is where a patient is being highly aggressive. So she went and ran upstairs to assist them, and that left me on the floor alone. So I was making my rounds, and I had went down one hall, and as I turned around, I noticed a shadow dart across the hall down on the other side. And I thought that was odd, but there's a window there, so I was assuming maybe someone had pulled in, coming in from lunch break, though I did not see any lights. So I proceeded to make my 15-minute rounds, and I was going down the hall, and I heard a very loud, blood-curdling scream. It almost sounded animalistic. It did not sound human-like at all. So I cut in a run down the hall, thinking that I was going to find a patient in distress. And as I made it down the hall, I started checking each and every patient room to see where it was coming from. The odd thing was that no patient was disturbed. They were all asleep, and none of them woke up as if, you know, they didn't hear it, and everyone was still asleep. They did not hear the scream like I heard it, but I heard it clear down the other hall. As I said before, I was alone, so instantly the hair stood up. And I just got this weird feeling like I needed to run, like get out of there. So I was pretty freaked out. I don't know if that was just my own paranoia being freaked out at a mental institute, or if it was a feeling being given off by something. But I ran up to the nurse's station, and I got on the phone, and I called the individual that had went upstairs. And I told him, get back down here. There's something going on. I heard a scream. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's freaking me out, and I don't want to be alone down here anymore. And so she obliged and came right back down. And that's the end of my story. Thank you.
When you have those feelings, you have to go with it. If mm-hmm. there's something that's freaking you out, there's a reason for that. And you may not even be aware of it. It may be a sensory thing. That's just, you know, almost instinctual that we hardly can even recognize anymore, that just has been with us forever.
Mm-hmm. When you have it, go with it.
Yes, always.
That's kind of the message there. Thank you for sharing that story and that experience with us. We appreciate it. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for calling in if you did today. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get a full year and get a bunk bed bell when you sign up that way. Or you can go month to month, whatever works best for you. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps our show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.